All right. Let's do doctrine for 15 minutes. Structures for authoritative prayer. You see, this authoritative prayer, just like we said, you know, normal prayer is from earth to heaven. Are you with me? Normal prayer is from where? From earth to heaven. And authoritative prayer is from heaven to earth. It's a different kind of prayer. You are praying from your ascended position in heaven. You are praying taking advantage of your positional advantage. Now, those utterances are like commandments. And you are commanding some things to obedience using the instrumentality of the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus sustains that stature. Such that when it is proclaimed, hallelujah, it commands obedience in the universe. And there are three layers in the universe. The heavens of God, the earth, and the underworld, which is beneath the earth. And the name of Jesus, upon his coronation as Christ, he was given a compliment. And the compliment he was given was established in his name. His name gained stature. And it became an instrument for government in the kingdom of heaven. Are you with me now? And so the authority that we are given from the kingdom of God is tied to the name of Jesus. But as you come to realize very soon, the name of Jesus is different, had different potencies in the mouth of different Christians. We are going to look at all the variables that are responsible for the degree of potency that the name of Jesus will have. It's not as if the name has a problem, but the person using the name might have a problem. Right, so we'll come into that. So can we do some scriptures quickly? We are trying to establish the structures for authoritative prayer. And in order to begin that, I'm going to introduce us to the third law that governs the spirit realm. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the third law. Third law. We mentioned first law yesterday, we mentioned second law today. The first law is that if you yield yourself as a servant to obey anything in the spirit realm, you become a servant to that which you decide to obey. In that particular, in that template, you will see that your will is involved. It's not the first day you begin to smoke that you become addicted to smoking. If you can use your will, apply your will that way, apply your will that way, there's a spirit that will see your effort. And the spirit will help you with the powers of addiction and bring you into bondage. I know at this point the amen will not come up. Meanwhile, that's the best part of the message. Second law is that if you observe lying vanities, you will forsake your mercy. The realities that are captured in scripture concerning you, for instance, your nationality is in heaven. Your reality is hid in Christ, and Christ is hid in God. That's your reality. There's nobody that is better protected than yourself according to the scriptures. So if you come in confrontation with the devil and suddenly you give in to fear, it means you have observed a lying vanity. You believe in his intimidation much more than you believe in your reality. If an Ezemo sees you and the Ezemo tries to threaten you and say, Kai, we come in peace. And you are not afraid. Meanwhile, as a man of God, we don't run. Hallelujah. No, your neighbor didn't hear. Please help me preach. You don't what? We don't run. Hey, you said all that. I said, we come in peace. But if you are not for peace, we know the way of war. He will comport himself. Because you did not give away your reality in your response. Because if you make mistake and you observe a lying vanity because he intimidated you, you came out of your superior position and then attended, you had the luxury to attend to fear. You have abandoned yourself. Now you are exposed for affliction. Third law. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hey, yes, 2 Corinthians. Well, yeah, 2 Corinthians 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This scripture is a compendium that captures what we call the warfare of the mind. All right? I don't intend to delve into it. This is the warfare of the mind. In order for a demon to have perpetual access to your life, many times they sell a lot of lies into your mind. You must understand that demons sometimes have the capacity to think through your thoughts, just like God, when it becomes fluid, when it becomes water, when it becomes a river. That's the mode in which it takes in order for him to seep into your thoughts and begin to use your thinking faculty. That's what the Bible says. Come, let us reason together. It is possible for you to think the thoughts of God, but not without God's help. So God will have to become fluid. He will have to become a river for him to flow into your thought faculty and to upgrade your thought capacity so that you can play host to his thoughts. The same way the devil can think his thoughts through you, especially when you are aligned with a desire of the flesh. You know, Peter spoke about Jesus and he spoke in a revelatory fashion. He said, "Thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God." And then Peter, a few verses later, now began to rebuke Jesus that Jesus should not talk about dying. He said, when he yielded to a desire of the flesh, Satan began to think his thoughts through him and he became a mouthpiece for the devil. Just right now. He spoke for God now and then spoke for the devil later. So in order for the devil to have perpetual access to your life, what he does is that he forms strongholds of thoughts in your life. And there are many ways that he can achieve that. Maybe because of something you suffered when you were a little child. He gave you a perspective. He gave you a complex. And that complex becomes a stronghold. Even if God is saying there's a reality outside of that box, you are afraid to think of it. Because there is something so painful that put you in that mold. You have to let go your worship of that thought in order for you to embrace that which God is offering. Hence, you will need to participate in the warfare of the mind. You will need to cast down imaginations and you need to cast down every thought that is contrary to the word of God. There are things you believe that is different from what the Bible teaches. But the only thing that is true is the word of God. And so let God be true. Let everything and let every man be a liar. At any point in time where there is a contradiction between what the word of God says and what you think, you are a liar. And accept that you are a liar and embrace the truth. That's why the Bible says test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Hallelujah. And so, but I don't want to dwell on that. I don't want to dwell on that. We did a little of this scripture last 2 weeks ago or something. All right. You need to get the tape. It was a great one. Amen. So that's the context of the warfare of the mind. He can think thoughts through your thoughts and he can give you imaginations that are from the pit of hell. And imaginations are stronger than thoughts because imaginations come with pictures. And those pictures can be retained. And those pictures will keep popping up. When you are at your hype moments, it can pop up. When you are at your low moments, it can pop up. It's looking for alignment. It's looking for agreement. It's seeking for you to accept it. So it keeps coming with pictures. This is where you know that Satan is a photographer. And he goes around with a camera. Listen, brethren, if you don't win in your soul, you will lose on the ground. If you have not defeated me, I don't know some of you, when you fall sick, you become weak on the bed. God forgot me. That you don't understand that behind that affliction was a demon. And the intention, it was not the affliction that was a problem. The intention of the affliction that the demon wants to achieve, he wants to break you. He wants to make you doubt God. Are you with me? If you find that it is a manipulation, it's a manipulation. You need to revolt against it. I remember there was a time I was almost having stroke. You know that time we had, these lights were here, there was no AC. And you know the way I sweat. I would sweat when I'm preaching. I didn't know my life was going. My life was going. And I did that for 4 years. And after 4 years, a pain appeared on my back. And that pain was constant. I could not sleep. For many months, I could not sleep. Because if I sleep for 2 hours, the pain will come. So the doctor now said, young man, you have not been sleeping. You are not sick, but you have not slept. That's your sickness. I should go and buy what they call that stuff? Orthopedic foam. Orthopedic. And I should sleep for 6 months, I'll be healed. I said, I can't even sleep today. You are saying 6 months. What's 6 months? So he now brought one drug. He said, are you hypertensive? I said, I have no plan of being hypertensive. He said, are you diabetic? That it doesn't even flow in my family. This drug is very strong. I thought he was joking. Then he said, I suggest you take it with milk. So I bought milk. And when I took the thing, he shook me from my head to my leg. But in the shaking, he now relieved me of that pain. Are you with me? Then I now realized that as the pain was going, there was a fear that was left. Is it that pain that brought fear?
No.
Part and parcel. As the pain was doing its own ministry, there was something that was attacking my God in the spirit. When I noticed it, I said, oh, wow. Then I went into warfare. It means I was under attack. Hallelujah. I went into warfare. Serious warfare. Serious warfare. And in the way, based on my own personal estimation, I wanted to do something that the devil will know that it didn't work. What you tried didn't work. And so you must know at which point he wants to pass through your thoughts to make you captive. It might be that you had an experience and he's masquerading behind the experience to give you a miniature status. You need to fight against it. That's the warfare of the mind. He wants you to accept something that God has not ordained for you. And it's not your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so that's the warfare of the mind. It's critical. If you don't win there, don't expect to win on the ground. There are some people that we did interview together. They knew they had failed. And before the result came out, and they were true. They were right. They had failed. They failed in their mind and they failed on the ground. You cannot get me to fail here. No. It doesn't matter how many times you write jam, write wayek. Please don't fail in your mind. I'm not a failure. I don't know where the match or wayek, maybe in Zamfara State, and the person didn't like your name, Anthony. So this name is not from among us, and decided to afflict you. Hallelujah. If the paper say you are a failure, please don't accept that in your mind. It is for that we need to fight. If somebody say, they don't marry in your family. Don't accept that. That is what is in the lexicon. But me, I'm not party to that. So you can think what you think, but what runs in my mind is governed by the word of God. The Bible says, it says, whatsoever things are good, they are pure. They are good report. Think on those things. So my mind is a sanctuary that is regulated. It's not every kind of thought that can pass it through my mind. As the thought is crystallizing, I fight it. Especially if it's not in line with scripture. If it's not part of what God has spoken about my destiny. If somebody brings a dream to you, a revelation, and it coincides with what you are doing, you know that one is. That utterance is true. Hallelujah. Don't take it lightly. Like what you said that day. I didn't need to give you feedback because it was true. So it was not something to talk about. It was something to fight about. No need for feedback. Make sure you are such a man that cannot lose inside. Because there are many places God will send you. You will need to have a very positive self-image for you to be able to penetrate, because everything in that territory is saying what you came to do is impossible. So you need to have a healthy mind that is robust with possibilities. A mind that is robust with what? With possibilities. And that possibility is not because you are a success preacher or a motivational student. There's nothing like motivation. There's nothing like motivation. Anything that we cannot trace to the Holy Ghost has its roots in psychology or philosophy. The people that wrote those motivational books, why am I here? Okay, I'm already here. Vincent Norman Peale is not a believer. Yes, he's not a believer. That book. Oh, you know that man. He's not a Christian. He's an atheist. And he wrote books that we use to run seminars in the body of Christ. Yes, he's an atheist. Go and Google it, you will find out. Most of these principles are coming from the business infrastructure of the United States. Those guys don't believe in God. You don't know that those guys on the board, the governing board of those companies, they are psychics there, they are marabouts there, they are Indian priests there that can give them insight into the forecast of the market in the days to come so that they can plan effectively. That's how they win in business, is by psychic visions. And then they will now write, be positive to Christians, be focused and hardworking. And then we'll preach it in church to people, Christians. Meanwhile, that's not what they are using. They are using spiritual power of navigation and stargazing and alignment. Tell your neighbor, wake up. The day of that kindergarten church is over. We need to hold the scepter and the mantle and find out where the Holy Ghost is going. They lie to us. All those guys, they consult mediums. Why do you think there's a mad rise of the psychic world in the U.S. now? It sells. They are no longer inviting the Mike Murdoch to those boards because they don't have prophecy. You understand what? Before those days was the Mike Murdoch that used to go there, talk for 30 minutes and then come out with how many millions. They did not upgrade spiritually. They didn't upgrade. I heard him preach in Lagos. I wept. He was like a shadow of himself. Collecting money, fake money, lying to people. Have you heard of that person that takes 24-hour miracle offering? You were a victim. When they say those things, zip up. Your pocket zip. You won't have any miracle. It's ticket money they are gathering. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Forget those motivational things. Let's go back to Jesus. Let us go back to Jesus. I have studied wide. I wanted to find out why people succeeded. I have found out. They had spiritual advantage. I found out. So after my research, I came back to the Holy Ghost. I said, Holy Ghost, it's me and you now. if I fail, it's me and you. If we make progress, it's me and you. Those people that are here messing up and playing with your spiritual life, you fornicate once in a while, seasonally, you... Hey! You have time. You have time. We are on a mad race for destiny. The Lord grant you understanding. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, so that's the warfare of the mind. But where I'm going to is verse 6, which is a law of the spirit. And I want us to capture that law and give it context and perspective before we now see the use of that law in other scriptures that have to do with warfare. Then if we can establish that, you'll now see the element in which warfare is fought. And if those factors are not in place, you are not likely to win that warfare. Go first and hide yourself. When you make up for these factors, come to fight. You will win. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. He now says, having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is complete. I'm going to give muscle to that. But it's critical. I hope you know the context here is warfare. Context is what?
Warfare.
Okay, so we are going to see this requirement in the environment of warfare once and again and again and again and again. When we have cleared your doubt, then we build the structure for authoritative prayer. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is what?
Complete.
Please don't forget that scripture. It's very critical. All right, let's find out another environment of warfare. Another environment of warfare will be First Corinthians, Ephesians chapter 6. Abby? All right. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 says, finally, my brethren. I know you know it off head. But the thing you don't know is what they said before they finally. You know, finally means the matter has ended. So what is it that he said before what? There are many matters that were raised before they finally. If we don't articulate that matters very well, we will not know how to arrive at finally. Okay, let's do Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1. Then you see the matters that were raised before the finally. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1? It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You are going to see several instructions. Meanwhile, the Bible says, having a readiness to revenge every disobedience when your what? Obedience is what? You know, God is such a wonderful personality. Hallelujah. Such a wonderful personality. Such a great personality. Such a wise personality. You know what he did? What he did is that he put us in a context. You know, we are not existing in limbo. Even though we are domiciled in the heavens, our nationality is of heaven. God has given us the advantage of ascension. But unfortunately or fortunately, we are not in limbo. He put us in a context. So you are going to find men, hallelujah, in that context that he puts us, we have little lords in that context. In that context that he put us, we have masters in that context. In that context that he put us, we have fathers in that context. Okay, can we read? Don't be in a hurry to take away. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How many of you still have living parents? Okay, I have parent. Me, I have parent. Okay, you have parent. All right. Your mom is still around. How many of you have parents? Amen. Please pray for them to stay back here some more. In the name of Jesus. Now, but you see, he didn't put you in limbo. You are a great man. You are heavily loaded from God. But he put you in a context. And in that context, you have parents. And he's expecting you to be a son of order. To operate according to the demand of your status within the context. Now, you see, if you are not accurate in that context that he put you, don't think you can fight a spiritual war and win. I know you don't know why. But I will explain to you. You see, in the natural realm, there are two things that are difficult to explain. One is authority, and the other one is glory. If you are a visitor, a frequent visitor to the spirit realm, you will have insight into these two matters. But if you are all locked up in the natural, it will be difficult for you to apprehend these matters. Because these matters do not derive principally from earth. They only manifest on earth because they were given. They were delegated. I hope you know, like in the context of marriage. Okay, let me leave that context. It's a strong place to go. It's a context. Now, so let's get the context. We have children and parents. And what is the responsibility of children? Obey your parents. But there's a limit to which you can obey them according to this creed. You obey them as is allowable in the Lord. My father can't send me to buy Gouda. I will preach a long sermon and he himself will be weary. So you cannot use me as an agent to do something that is contrary to that which is allowable in God. My convictions rule. God is first my father before he now made you my father here. So I am answerable much more to him than to you. And if you believe that your authority will make me come at loggerheads with my father, I will tell you no. Align with him on this matter. So obey your parents where? In the Lord. So there is. So this is a little Lord. This is a little Lord. Alright? Now you would think that in this equation, you would think that The burden is on the children. If you read further, you will see the balance. Because we exist within a context. And the way you function within that context, if you are a son of order and you are accurate in that context, it means you know that in the spirit realm is very clearly demarcated in the landscape of authority and honor and power. It's only a son of order that knows that the spirit realm is clearly demarcated with respect to authority and order. Only a son of order. Someone that has accepted the government of God in his spirit, and that is a philosophy by which his own house is ruled. That kind of a person will also go an extra mile to ensure that he is accurate within the context that God has established. So if you jump to finally, my brethren, which most of us have jumped to, and you crammed it, and you want to engage a warfare that is not of flesh and blood, and you forget issues of context, you will now be reminded by demons that your readiness to revenge all disobedience is as a result of the fact that your own obedience is what? So they will bring accusations about you that within that context you are not accurate. What makes you think you have authority to displace? So we two are rebellious entities. You are a rebel and you want to. In fact, you will get.
Mm-hmm.
So you're understanding me now. Can we go on with the teaching? Next verse. Context. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Context. Go on. Next verse. That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Next verse. And ye fathers. Still context. Because somebody might say, you say I am your father. He doesn't know that that designation is a providence of the mercy of God. Hallelujah. So he's supposed to manage his headship over that child with some caution, so as not to create an atmosphere that will provoke the child to feel that it is easier and it is better for him to align with the flesh. So the father has that responsibility to also maintain order. It's a context. Go on. There's a lot of that. Servants, you see, servant and masters. So if we read this whole list, let me get the list. Hallelujah. I know the amen now will not go up.
Amen.
You are either a child or a servant. So how many of us are civil servants here? You are a servant. Don't be it's a noble profession, please. All right. Hallelujah. Now, have you ever had a very terrible ogre? And you prayed for him to die, he didn't die. You have cursed him in your heart. You see, the reason why the terrible ogre is there is not because of himself. That is terribleness. Eh? It's designed to knock off something in your own life. There's a reason why God will put you under a terrible man. Neither to knock off something or to train you for the days to come. And the way you respond to that ogre, no matter how terrible he is, should not be in the flesh. That means you are a son of order. You understand that the landscape of the spirit realm that you represent has clear demarcations of authority and order. That's why you don't break order. My father-in-law's younger brother, who is like his direct assistant, extended an invitation to me and said, I want you to preach for us so time. And he gave me enough time. I said, can you make it? I called him. I said, okay. Now with the follow. For me, what I believe is that what you sent me is an instruction. It's not given to whether that's the kind of son me I am. Forget about that other clause. Whether I know in America that's how they do it, but we are sons, we are not disciples. It's an instruction. We'll show up. Hallelujah. Because I understand order. And when I obey and function properly in that context, and I see a rebellious spirit trying to bring death, he's not giving unto him to decide who will die. So I said, what are you doing there?
Go.
The spirit will know who is talking. Because when you are doing warfare, all right, you are operating from heaven to earth. It's not only your talk and the name of Jesus that are the factors on the table. Whether you are a son of order, your context is brought to bear. Who you are, the scars you have in the pursuit of Jesus is brought to bear. How long and how willing are you to surrender to God's order? Even if it will bring pain, how willing are you? All those factors are the things that give you stature in spiritual warfare. And those factors come upon the table when you invoke the authority of God from the high heavens to bring obedience to princes and powers that are beneath you. Those factors come into view. Some of you don't know how to control your mouth. The mouth is like this. You talk about dignities, about things that are higher than you. And you don't understand why you are so vulnerable. If we are going to go highly in the realm of the spirit to effect things that will extend the kingdom of God, we must be men that are accurate within context that God has placed us. Do you know that one of my guys in the office, they showed him one of my video on YouTube. That's why I don't do so much of Facebook thing. So that, because they will see me in Moscow preaching. I said, hey, that one is a problem. He saw my video on YouTube. He said, is it this job this guy is doing that is preaching like this? Tell him he will never preach again here. Ah, he spoke as if he was God. And I know me, I'm a son of order. So I had to go to God and say, is that man relevant to you? Yes, because he's the one I perceive he's not relevant. Hallelujah. So I could go up there and discuss from there. What about this man? We ended this case in 6 months. 6 months. That's authoritative. I can consult in heaven and we'll discuss your destiny from there. We'll whisper. Are you? In fact, the way they put that man now, they put him in a place, he'll be redundant till he retires. He won't have the privilege of signing anybody's assessment again. For that statement, he's in remand. Oh my God. Hallelujah. You see, God told me, he said, I'll pay you to do mission work by giving you a job. So the agreement was that he will make sure that I'm free to do the mission work. That guy gave me work. Hey! I know you don't understand. 10 reports per depot. I was running 3 depots with jetties. I climbed vessels every other day. I was offshore. I was black from my body. Had 2 months, you'll not be hungry because you have inhaled chemicals. And I will still leave that vessel. And take my taxi man will be warming the car as they bring me with boat, with flying boat. I've entered. We are going to the airport. We'll fly. I'm doing my report in the car. When I land, that's why I always have credit. Create hotspot. I send reports in Enugu. I'm sending. Jesus saw that I served him. I believe. I know it's on record. It's on record. And then when I went and discussed the man's case, they put him in remand. Put him where he will not have anybody to sign his appraiser. I could do that because I knew I'm ascended. Hallelujah. Then you now discover that for a spiritual man, you must be righteously strict to yourself. Did you hear that my message that we define Christianity, the Christian line? That a believer must be righteously strict to himself. He must be mercifully kind toward others and he must be secretly pure toward God. That's the template. You must be a son of order. They brought one man. And when they brought this man violated the contract me and God had. Because the contract is, you'll be free to do mission. So the man put me where I will not be free. I went back to Baba and said, is this man, is he relevant? Do you know that one took 7 days for him to be moved out? Not moved out to remand. They're moving out of the office, the entire office. They removed him. 7 days. You can move things. You can move men. You can move people. If you are a son of order. For many people, when a little anointing comes upon them, oh my God. Meanwhile. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, God just told me that it will take 3 more years before I enter the anointing of my calling. 3 more years. So, what have I been doing? Hallelujah. I prayed for a dead person. The person came back to life before. But he said it will take 3 more years before. I'm saying you are becoming serious now. It will take, three more years. It will take 3 more years. So there's more in God. There's much more than we have experienced. There's much more than we have ever seen in history in God. And I believe we are more advantaged by placement and positioning than the people that saw greater moves of God on their life. I believe that. There's so much to stumble into in God. And so you see the context. Those are the things that must be fulfilled before your warfare will be swift. Your authority will be unchallenged. There was a lady. Names of people with head. Those days we used to hold meetings in Jestaka. And the lady came under the anointing and she began to speak by an evil spirit. Alright? So one of our brothers went to drive the spirit. The lady said, "You," and she began to download. And told him that you lack the you don't understand, you know how. You don't have the requirement. So the guy said, "Shut up! Shut up! Guys! Ah!" Chief Don knows what I'm talking about. The guy shouted, "Shut up there!" And when we finished the exercise and we're going home, I said, "Bro, sorry, but that thing that guy said, is it true?" That's the matter. We have to, because the revelations were strange. So he said, "Shut up! Don't allow spirit to talk." It was. We came home and I asked him quietly, "Bro, what time?" He said, "We are hearing demon." I said, "It's not as if we hear demon. No. The thing is, you were going to a minister. And the person spotted you, and the person got angry and began to." So, but this downloading, we have a copy of what was downloaded. So we are just trying to discuss to see whether it's true. It's not. We are not. He got angry. Said, "Kai, ah!" It was not too long. We found out that all the downloads were true. Meanwhile, that was someone that it didn't take up to 3 minutes to drive that spirit. It didn't take up to 3 minutes. Then you begin to wonder, why is the name of Jesus effective in the mouths of some people and it's not effective in the mouth of others? I think we'll answer that question with the 7 sons of Sceva. Because they crammed the technology. They saw Paul, the way he was doing the business. Hallelujah. And they crammed the thing. And they were waiting for an opportunity to try it out. Only for them to discover that before you do that, you must have an identity in heaven. You must be coming from a place, and there are principles within your natural context that you must not default in. Now, do you see why many people, warfare, real strategic warfare, for territories, villages, for people, it is no longer something popular? I think we are no longer sons of order. Sons of order are not many again. That's what I think. That's what I think. I adjure you in the name of Jesus that Paul preached. That's so secondhand. I adjure you. In the name of Jesus, that Jesus, that what? Paul preaches. Come out. And then the demonic man now gave us some insight. He said, Jesus, we know. So there was a quick inventory of the data bank, and Jesus was high up in the data capture. Paul's name was included as a current terror threat. They checked. Who are you? That is to say, he had no identity in the spirit. That's number one. He had no identity. So you will need to have an identity in Zion to use the name of Jesus rightfully. That's one. Number two, when Peter and Paul raised that guy at the gate of Beautiful from his lame legs, okay? You know, when they were now trying to explain this, they said, wait, brethren, calm down. Don't think it is because of our holiness, one, or our... please give me that scripture. He mentioned two things there. What scripture is that? Acts chapter 3, verse what? All right, let's check it out. Acts chapter 3, verse what? Okay, verse 12. All right, so let's do Acts 3:12. Thank you. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, marvel ye at this, or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man walk? By our own power. So power is required to make him walk. What again is required? Holiness. Holiness. So that's where I'm going. I wanted us to arrive at this scripture. Then you will understand our morning lecture. So can you now see that if you have not started walking, you cannot stand well? See, standing is an application that requires walking and sitting. It is in sitting that you are ascended. You get it? Then if your walking is accurate, then you can stand properly. But there are a lot of people that are advancing the doctrine of standing without these two elements. You know that there's a fundamental error with this architecture. I speak in parables. You understand what I'm talking about? Whether it is by our own power or holiness. There's an evolution of the gospel in Lagos. This gospel of power we are talking about here. No, it's phasing out. In Lagos, a Lagos pastor needs to either attend Harvard Business School or Netherlands Business School right now. And then you now do a series on success power. You read John 3:16 and show 10 business ideas from John 3:16. Success power. And everybody must wear a sharp suit with an iPad. Glory. And then you look like an enterprising businessman, probably with a golden watch or diamond. Glory. That's not Christianity. It's an idea. The truth of the matter is that if the church in the middle belt doesn't come to the rescue now, Christianity will die a natural death. Because the evolution that is coming from the West, and it supposedly the West are the enlightened ones. And that's where Christianity came from Badagry. But you need to go to Badagry today and see if you can find any of our relics in that city. There's something strange happening. That's why we need to take a stand for the kingdom of God.
And the power of Jesus was the means by which the gospel was made popular. And that power must be retained in every generation. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to stop here. Even though we don't have, we have not finished all our scriptures. We'll continue tomorrow evening because I want us to pray. Hallelujah. You see, in the kingdom, Jesus Christ calls the shots. We align with his wisdom. That's what we do. Just like when you're counseling somebody and the person comes and says, God says, this lady is my wife. I think the counseling has finished. Yes, sir. He has invoked. All right, let's see what that person did. Jude chapter 1 verse 9. Person said, God, who are you to... Hallelujah. Jude chapter 1 verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring him a railing accusation, but said, what? The Lord rebuke you. And that's to say, Michael invoked the utterance of the Lord. It was not Michael that was rebuking, it was the Lord rebuking. So he used the name of the Lord to discomfit the devil. That's how you're going to use the name of the Lord. He didn't bring accusations. It was not time for litigation. This was because in ranking, are you with me? In ranking at that time, Satan had higher ranking than Michael. Because Satan at that time was using Adamic power. Because Satan still has Adamic power till today. That's what he's using right now. His own power has been closed down. And his estate he has lost. And his place in the heavens of God in Zion, he has been displaced from that place. So the Bible says, give the devil no place. So he doesn't have any designation in the kingdom of God. The designation he found, which is the one he's using now, is Adamic. So he displaced Adam from his own place and then took over Adam's position. Because the Bible says, whoever you yield yourself as a servant to obey, servant of such you become. And Adamic authority was higher than angelic authority. I don't have time to do the permutations today. But you see, there are two sides of the creation. Are you with me? Two sides. Have I done that permutation here? Why I showed us the invisible creation and the visible creation. And God is the highest on the ladder. And then according to the book of Psalms 8 verse 4, Adam or man is the next in hierarchy before the angels. So if Lucifer or Satan was functioning by Adamic power, Adamic authority, he was superior to Michael. So Michael could not accuse him. Even though there were accusations on ground, there were violations, there were things he had broken, laws he had not kept. There were many things he had not observed. But Michael did not have the stature to bring those things to bear. And Michael invoked the one that sent him. You see, authority. Invoked the name of the one that sent him. And he said, the Lord. Huh? That was how he won that battle. It was a battle that he won by authority, not by brute strength or power. So, in spiritual warfare, we don't win by brute strength. We win by what? By authority. And the same way he said, the Lord rebuke you. We in heaven there, we say in the name of Jesus. And the same thing can happen. If you are a son of order, the name will be effective and the heavens will acknowledge the use of that name from your mouth. Now God is about to impart a special gift, special ability. Now, I don't know how many people he will give this great ability. It's a special gift.
It's a special gift. It will overwhelm him. It's a special gift. Now listen, because I need to talk about this gift. It's already coming. It's already coming. It's already coming. It's already coming strong.
Imakone tena zila hambala kumbale. Saina kena monde sanina kala bonda nale. Satona leda doma saila kapranama. Zanina kombria sana berano mola. Hayalo tele kamorosa dina. Haya no tena sali akumarua la mogaba. Emina sula kuna solo prege. Arana masombre saila komba nainana. Korotele makambo sana mana. Buru sanima kombre sanima kosaniye. Hola boma de asale marata de boda kumo. Hola siya kuna kila branda babu kukula haba.
Jesus.
Hey, hey. Zayan domena zingana marabalia gama. Zayan ele kumania zemo beme.
Listen to me. You know, the Holy Ghost didn't allow me to say what. So he has done what he wants to do. But I see in the spirit. What he told me was that he will give people a spiritual womb and they will begin to groan, and from today it will be easy for them to groan and be caught up in the spirit. So before I could say it, he started doing it. Is he coming on somebody? Is he coming on somebody? Father, inside or outside, that one that you have blessed his womb to groan, Locate. Now listen.
De la cane mosena. De la cane mosia combelane. Zelias.
Now listen to me. Listen to me.
Kanapula kanamasaya toma. I am an Asiamo. I am a Mosiamo.
Yes, you are coming out. You are coming out. You are coming out. Come out of that place where you have been kept. And proclaim your liberty. I proclaim your liberty. I proclaim your liberty. And decree that the things that held you before can no longer hold you down again.
Yena. Saina kombena.
Now listen, listen, listen. God is doing something now. I don't know how to say it. Now listen.
See ya, mama.
Sister, come.
Ye mana zeneke badu masoboro, mama yando malie. Asone kani kabatuna sani kabala komba. Asane akongala sonenga balade balade mona imasando le kale sana kana imasana lebo zina kama ye
Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now listen, let's take it one at a time. I don't know. See, it's almost 8. I see. Hallelujah. I see one that has an evangelical anointing. You are going to have an encounter with God. In fact, 7 encounters before the end of this year to prepare you for an international engagement. Yes, I'm seeing that. Now, the anointing, 7 encounters from God.
Hallelujah.
All right, listen to me anywhere you are, inside or outside. Listen. Can you raise your right hand up? Somebody is about to be blessed of God. I'm seeing that God will pick 3 people among us for a great blessing. These ones will be given dreams. Dreams that will reveal things to come. And it will be clear dreams, elaborate dreams. There are 3 among us that will be chosen. Father Lord, from inside and outside, those 3 that you have chosen to bestow this great honor in the kingdom, I ask, Lord, locate them. Locate them. Locate them. Okay, it's coming. Locate them. Locate them. Locate them inside. Locate them outside. Locate them. It's a mighty honor from God. It's a great honor from God.
I am Osina Kandelazi Kabarako.
Let it come on you strong. Let it come on you strong. Let it come on you strong. Strong. Strong in the name of Jesus. See, somewhere in the congregation, I don't know if it's here or outside, the Holy Ghost will clothe somebody. He will clothe somebody. He will clothe the person, and there'll be a vibration from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet.
There'll be a vibration. Holy Spirit, let there be a vibration. 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 Move. Let every anointing that has been tied down be let loose. Let anyone that is afflicted in the blood be delivered tonight in the name of Jesus. I cause sicknesses in the blood. Sicknesses in the blood. Go! Sicknesses in the blood. Go tonight in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Father. Anywhere you are, just speak in tongues for a moment. Speak in tongues for a moment. For a moment. For a moment. For a moment. Anahana kaila kosanala. Brateko sebrege dahika. Brosaneko. Brokata beneke. Brokatala baboria. Escombrege daliko patwa. Ambresoko makapala. Rakamento lekani.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Kato, bring that oil. Chief Don. Chief Donatus, come. Mike, come. Call this sister for me. You in orange, come. Now God said I should give you people a strong prophetic anointing. That's what he said I should give you. You will have ability to discern even the thoughts of men, the secrets on the hearts of men. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your instruction, and I should anoint these three individuals so that you can honor them with a prophetic anointing. I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Father, now I ask. Now I ask for a deposit. A deposit of insight, of hindsight, and of foresight. And all the lenses of the spirit that makes the prophet wise, let it descend upon your people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let it descend upon your people in the name of Jesus. Receive sight to see. Receive hearing in the spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now you may sit, three of you. You can go. Now, you see, God is about to deliver a lady. He's about to deliver a lady from bondage. From ancient bondage. Oh, my God. In the name of Jesus. Now, if that your amen has some fire, it will work. In the name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. Father, in our midst today, there is one whose case has been discussed among witches for a very long time of how to bring harm to that life. I ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Okay, the hand of God is already locating that person. Help me bring that person from outside. It's an emergency. That case is an emergency. Just bring them for me. We need to break a yoke from their lives. We need to break a yoke. Thank you, Jesus. Esomine kalia marakazemino. I think we'll soon need a crusade because this place is becoming too small.
Yes, Lord.
Uh-huh. That yoke that was placed on you, let it break. Let it break. Let it break. Let it break. The yoke of stagnation, the yoke, nothing works. Let it break. Bring her. Bring her. Bring her. Let it break. Let it break. Let it break. I need to touch her head. Yeah. Let it break. Let it break. Lose her. Lose her. Uh-huh. All right, all right, all right. Yes, Chief Don, cast that spirit down. Somebody needs to touch our umbilical cord. Touch that cord. Ayaba kayaba. You see? It's like a rattlesnake. I think the time for us to start doing crusade. This place is too small. What God is showing me, if he comes here, these our chairs no go remain. That's why I'm negotiating. Give me water. This one is by water. Can you pray a prayer, sister? I say, Lord, every form of stagnation, let it end now. Say it again, Lord. I am man to every form. Okay, the chains are breaking. They are breaking. Yeah, break. Yeah, break. Yeah, break. You are coming out of that place from whence you were kept. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That appointment with death, I cancel it. That altar that is calling you, and the spirits that appear to you in your dream, I stand against them. And him that is calling you in the spirit and doing this thing, as if it's your dead father, it's your late father that is doing it. I curse the feet of that man. I send madness to that man. Madness to that man. Madness to that man. Madness to that man. Yes. Yes. Let there be perpetual madness. I command that altar that has received incense and received blood to do evil. I destroy that altar. I destroy it. I hewn it down from your foundation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. The yoke is broken. The things that you waited for long will happen now, okay? Amen. It's all right. You see, right where I'm standing, there's somebody that is under attack, close to me. Come. Ayabokani Masule, Ayakomasia Lakonda. I'm seeing something coming into my body. And I'm seeing some things living. There's something coming, and there are many things living. I'm seeing things that are buried. Buried, eh? You know where that your house, that your former house. Many things buried there. I'm seeing them coming out of the ground. Now. You see, there are three people left. There are three people left. Okay. I will find them. Lord, help me find them. That's one. It's coming stronger. Okay. You can't resist it. Father, help me find them. Help me find them. Help me find them. Those ones that this water touched. Help me. Now put the cameras on him. Give eyes to the people on the outside. Let us pray for this young man. He's carrying yokes that someone of his age should not carry. Yokes.
Yokes. Yokes. Can we pray for him? Can we pray for him? He's too young. He's too young. He's too young. I don't know. Have you ever consulted Satan before? Because what you are carrying is much. Can you ask for the Lord's mercies? Can you ask for his intervention? Can you ask for his intervention? Can you ask for his intervention? His intervention on the life of this young man. Father, intervene. 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 In the name of Jesus, intervene. Amakayabokosi. Yakomani alimusi. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. You see, you are into a fight with someone that is highly more spiritual than you in darkness. You have been stripped of your prosperity. Your destiny has been manipulated. You have been left to roam. Today, I introduce you to the power that is in the name of Jesus. Amen. The handcuffs will break right here. Amen. The fetters will fall. The chains will fall. You will see it. It will fall right here. Now, can you address the handcuff and the fetters and the chains? Address it. The handcuffs, the fetters, and the chains. The handcuffs, the fetters, and the chains. Oh Lord, the handcuffs, the fetters, and the chains. The handcuffs, the fetters. Now it's beginning to break. The chains on the neck are breaking off. It's being released right now. You can intensify that prayer. It's working. I tell you, it's working. It's working. It's working. It's working. It's working. It's working. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run it into it. The righteous find that safety. Oh, Makande Kobasima. We take away your chains, your fetters. The bars of iron. We break it in the name of Jesus. Ah! I call you forth from whence you have been tied. Come out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And so, Lord, tonight, we thank you because your name is above every name. The mention of your name, every knee must bow. It's not a decision that anyone makes. They are compelled to bow. They must bow. Maya kola barina sika. Aita boleke masila brasketoba la halabatwa. Mahi ketombres gavanato salake menzebre. Father Lord, I command the chains that hold this young man, the chains on the neck, the chains on the legs, the chains that have tied his destiny, that judgment from the witchcraft world, that sentence to make him a sacrificial lamb, a wanderer. Today, I break that utterance. Amen. I render it null and void. Amen. And I release his destiny. Amen. I call him forth from where he's tied. Amen. Arise and eat. For the journey is far. Leave him now. Can we sing this song? Giving glory to the Lord. Don't shout it. Whisper it. Giving glory to the Lord.